This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, my dear friends. And when I say and you, I don't just mean listening to the show. I mean, I want you on the show. That is why we have the call-in number, 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772. 3772. Let me tell you who I'm specifically looking for on the phones today. Basketball fans. Basketball fans, we do not get enough time in the sun on local radio, okay? We just don't. We get March Madness when the tournament is going on and all the casuals make their way into our world for 3 weeks. And then maybe we get the NBA Finals when some of the casuals make their way into our world for 2 weeks, but we don't get enough time in the sun. You today on the Rob Brown Show, which is not just a sports show, it is an every sport show. You get your time today, basketball fans. We're talking NBA Conference Finals. We got the Thunder up 1-0 on the Timberwolves. And after last night in a thriller, we have got the Pacers up 1-0 on the New York Knicks. But that is not what I want you on the air about. Although we can talk about it if you want to. What I want you on the air about is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Is SGA winning the MVP? I have already said, I think it's Nikola Jokic, and it's not close. I think Nikola Jokic should have gotten his next MVP, and I'll be honest, I'll probably think the same thing next year if next year looks like this year, regardless of outcome. Nikola Jokic is the best player on planet Earth, and the Denver Nuggets, as I had a young man from 850 AM KOA radio out of Denver say on my Saturday show last Saturday, without Nikola Jokic, the Nuggets are a lottery team. With him, they were a second-round NBA playoff team that took a team to 7 in the second round, despite the fact that they had one starter with a shoulder so banged up in Michael Porter Jr. that he could not put on his own basketball jersey, which I assume makes it tough to, you know, play basketball. And in a game 7, they had Aaron Gordon. Already it was enough that they had to lean on Aaron Gordon in the playoffs, but then they had him out there playing on a bad hammy in game 7 because they had nobody else to go with. And yet, under the efforts of Nikola Jokic, they took the Thunder to 7 games in round 2. He is the MVP as well as the best player in the game. But they give it to SGA, who won the scoring title, who led the league in not just scoring, but, and I will give him credit for this, because even with the floppiness of one Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I probably should have come up with this because this is a water cooler cheat sheet item, we'll get to that in a second. Not only did SGA lead the NBA in points this year, he also led the NBA in shooting percentage, 52% from the floor on the season. You give me a guard who drains one out of every two shots that he takes, and I'll give you an NBA playoff team around that guy. He's a great player. But I feel like basketball at its lower levels will be damaged by SGA winning the MVP because young, impressionable ballers are going to look at SGA throwing himself around the hardwood like he's getting shot and think that's what basketball is. And the problem I have is not that all y'all's cheering are about to start playing frustratingly bad basketball. The problem is that all y'all's cheering when you got to head up to the rec center on Saturday at 7 a.m. to watch a youth basketball game of bad basketball and flopping kids while I remain, naked in bed sleeping. The problem is that y'all's cheering are going to grow up to be the college basketball players that I do want to watch play in a couple of years. And if they still have that mentality at that point, the game's going to suffer. And then those players are going to get to the league. And the last thing I want is the entire NBA playing like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, on the phones today, I'll tell you who I'm looking for. I'm looking for basketball fans. I'm looking for NBA fans. I'm looking for basketball fans. And I'm looking for your reaction to SGA's efforts to become the MVP. Do you believe that he is a free throw merchant? Do you believe that he is a flopper? Do you believe, as I do, that the NBA should do something to nip that in the butt? Or do you believe it ain't that big of a deal? Am I making much to do about nothing? Doth I protest too much? And are you worried or not about SGA's game becoming the way that basketball is played because the NBA just handed him the most prestigious individual award that the highest basketball league in the world hands out every year? So basketball fans, I'm looking for you this AM. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. That's the number to call in. I want you on the phones this morning. Do you believe that the way SGA plays ball, A, is bad for basketball, or do you believe that I'm making too much out of nothing? That number is also the number to the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. You can text your thoughts. I'll read them on the air. Text line's open as of this segment. 844-326-3663. Shoot me your opinion on SGA and his game, his style, his winning the MVP, and if you think, as I do, it will have a negative impact on the sport at large moving forward. Hub City Spartanburger text line 844-326-3663. You can also tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Tweet us all at TheFanUpstate. Give me your thoughts on Twitter if you prefer, or if you got something more long format and you can't or don't want to come on the air, at the Rob Brown Show is my email address. It is open throughout the duration of the show. I will read your emails if it's easier for you to shoot me a message from the computer as well. Yada, yada, yada. 707. We gotta do this. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories all you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this AM. When you show up, when you get those passive aggressive emails responded to, once you get that TPS report on the boss's desk, and once you have done those 11 minutes of work and it's on to the next thing, which is walking down that long hallway, setting up shop in the break room and talking sports with that one dude from the janitorial staff that you just love talking sports with. Here's what you're going to be talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, let us dive right in with item number one. NBA and NHL playoffs roll on. Updates from last night. We mentioned it just a minute ago. 138-135 in overtime victory for the Indiana Pacers over the New York Knickerbockers. A lot of sad, fraudulent celebrity Knicks fans in MSG last night. The Knicks led this game with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left to play by 14 points, and then they lost because the Pacers were just better coached down the stretch. The Pacers executed down the stretch, and with everything on the line, 5 seconds to play, Tyrese Halliburton, a WWE icon, drives into the paint looking for the tying basket, gets the ball knocked out of his hands, but he doesn't panic. He doesn't freak out. He collects it. He steps back out behind the three-point line. He launches a buzzer beater of a J that drops. However, toe on the line. It was not the game-winning three-pointer that we thought it was. Instead, it was a game-tying two-pointer. We are headed to overtime. And in the overtime period, the Pacers were just better. I had a theory about this series. The series theory was, as good as the Knicks are on defense, and I cannot tell you how many times I have been bitten on the backside by going against the old narrative that defense wins championships. The New York Knicks have one of the best defenses in the National Basketball Association. However, they have one fatal flaw for this series. Tom Thibodeau leaves his starters in too long and in questionable spots. And I knew that was going to come into play in the second quarter when Jalen Brunson picked up foul number 4 and stayed on the floor. You got to have that dude to win if you're the New York Knickerbockers, but they left him on the floor in that spot. Now, he did not pick up foul number 5, but he could have, because if I'm the Pacers, I'm putting the ball in the hands of Tyrese Halliburton. I'm running as many picks as I need to get him one-on-one with Jalen Brunson, and I'm just attacking him. I'm making him get that fifth foul, or Tyrese is going to get a bunch of mildly contested field goal attempts. Not a good look. So we get to the fourth quarter. Tyrese Halliburton hits the big stone shots at the buzzer to give them a chance in OT, and the Knicks just looked like the legs were tired. And that makes sense because the series theory was, despite defense winning championships and the New York Knicks having one of the best defenses in the National Basketball Association, at the end of the day, even the best athletes on planet Earth are still human beings, and they still only have so much gas in the tank. They can only go so long before they get winded. And the Pacers, who have been playing with pace all season long, getting roughly 100 possessions a game, just about more than anybody else in the league, they just wore the Knicks down. Knicks ran out of gas. They ran out of legs. Pacers outdo them in the overtime period. They're up 1-0. Over in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, 6-3, the Dallas Stars take a 1-0 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers. It was 3-1 to Edmonton at the end of the third period, and then at the end of the second period. And then in the third period, the Dallas Stars went goal after goal after goal after goal after goal. 5 consecutive and unanswered goals for the Dallas Stars. 3 of them on the power play consecutively, and then 2 more in the final 4 minutes of play give the Dallas Stars a 6-3 win. They are up 1-0 on the Edmonton Oilers. Let us go to item numero dos. The Clemson Tigers advanced to round 3 of the ACC basketball tournament with a 6-1 win over the Virginia Tech Hokies. The Hokies did have to play in round number 1. They got the win. They advanced to take on Clemson, who had a 1-day bye because they were unable to capture a couple of ACC series down the stretch. Clemson becomes seed number 5 in the tournament, which means they got a 1-day bye. The top 4 seeds in this tournament got a 2-day bye and start their tournaments today. However, didn't matter. Aiden Konak, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. He's the winning pitcher. Dominic Listy had 4 two-out RBIs in the 6-1 victory. Kanak earned the win, like I mentioned, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 Ks, became the first Tiger with 9 wins in a season since Matt Clark did it in 2019. Hokie starter Brent Renfro suffered the L, 8 hits, 6 runs, and 2 walks with 10 Ks in 5.1. The Hokie struck first with a Ben Watson dong, then Can Camarella led off the bottom of the first inning with a double to extend his hitting streak to 16 games, scored on a wild pitch a few pitches later. Later in the frame with 2 outs, Listy hit a 2-run shot, his 5th of the year. He also doubled Clemson's lead in the 5th with a 2-out, 2-run double. Then Ken Canarella lofted a sacrifice fly in the 6th inning to get the 6-run lead. It was all chicken but the gravy at that point. Clemson moving on to round 3. They get NC State, a team that dominated them just a few weeks ago. Is there a revenge game on the horizon for Clemson? We're going to talk some ACC baseball coming up a little bit later in the show, but here we get to item number 3. There's a couple of different stories I could have placed into this slot. SGA wins the MVP, as we talked about just a little while ago. Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, Timothy Weah, Weston McKennie, all unavailable for the United States of America men's national soccer team in the Gold Cup coming up, the final round of preparation before the World Cup is hosted here in the States next year. But what I've decided to put here: the tush push is alive and well. Now, there's 2 reasons that I put it here. Number 1 is just the news that the tush push was not banned. They needed 24 votes in order to ban the play. The NFL got 22 votes. 10 teams voted against banning the tush push. Hilariously great one. Of those 10 teams, 9 of them do not play the Philadelphia Eagles this year. The only team that do are the Detroit Lions. That's hilarious to me. Jeff Lurie apparently gave a 1-hour-long speech about why the play should not be banned. Of course, the owner of the Eagles. And he also brought with him noted media personality and pretty good football player Jason Kelce, who gave a full-on presentation to the NFL owners about the tush push from the player's point of view, of the guy who was quite literally the spear point of it for a couple of years. 22 of 32 teams say yes, 10 say no, not enough, the tush push lives.
So this is a filibuster. It is what it sounds like, and I don't know what the patience of NFL owners are, because they're, for the most part, not politicians and don't know how to handle a filibuster. Doesn't it sound kind of like, I mean, an hour-long presentation about one play?
Well, so a filibuster, if we are using the political definition of the term, a filibuster is intended to prevent a vote from happening.
Right. Well, sure.
The vote did happen, and it failed.
It happened eventually. Did that hour-long presentation followed by the Jason Kelce presentation, did that sway anybody?
My bet is, I can't say yes, I can't say no. My bet is probably not. I suspect that all 32 of the owners, well, I should say 31 owners and the Packers president, who acts as the owner because that team is publicly owned, walked into that room with their minds made up already.
Here's why I believe it's filibuster-like, because I don't believe owners have the patience for this type of presentation that long, and they don't want to have to go through it again. So they just decided, okay, let's just go ahead and move this thing
well,
forward.
Well, I mean, it can be proposed again next year. It won't be. So here is the second reason.
How many times has a rule or them trying to get a rule happened year after year after year until they can get a play banned or something? I don't think it does that.
That is a great question. I actually do not know the answer to that, and I will later on today potentially think about maybe doing possibly some research to find out.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to, but I'll say now that I will. Mainly because that's something that I would have to dive into the multiple owners' meetings dating back 4 years.
Yeah, that kind of research it takes
exhausting.
Time. And, well,
now
you get a few days where you'll be busy. So
also that. What I will say is, if the If the Rob Brown Show had a research department, 100%, I'd be like, boys, go find this out. But we don't.
So, well, I can find it out, but when I research things that are against, you kind of discount
your
them.
Own narrative?
No, your narrative, yes. You discount them as, well, look at who that came from.
As my old man used to say, trust, but verify.
Oh, but verification only works when it's in your favor in this case.
Well, if I look it up, I've verified it already.
Uh-huh, but if I look it up, it's like, yeah, okay.
Trust, but verify.
Uh-huh.
Either way, it is banned. However, the reason I wanted to specifically point out that there were 31 owners and one team president who acts as the owner, despite the Green Bay Packers, the team that made the proposal, serving as the owner in that vote, is because a conspiracy theory floated yesterday. And once again, Rob Brown, anti-conspiracy theory guy, but this one caught my attention. Was it actually the NFL that proposed the ban via proxy? Some folks think that they may have used the Packers as their scapegoat. I'll tell you why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
So, Rob Brown is infamously anti-conspiracy theory. I think that more often than not, conspiracy theories are just a way for people who do not understand a thing to make sense of a thing that they do not understand.
So you might as well say Rob Brown is infamously against fun.
No, I'll participate in the fun. I, for a while, was all in on the birds aren't real thing because, again, the whole birds aren't real conspiracy theory that was a meme on the internet at one point was crafted to mock conspiracy theorists because of the sheer number of conspiracy theorists who are currently in important decision-making positions across the United States of America, voted there by other conspiracy theorists. So, there is one floating around the NFL right
so,
now.
So, really quick, so what you're saying is there are more people out there of a certain persuasion than people like you who disagree and don't believe that conspiracy theories have any validity at all.
I mean, anyone of any intelligence level, anyone of any political persuasion, anyone of any religion, race, creed, color, or background can be suspect to conspiracy theories. Anybody. Because, the reason conspiracy theories work are because we, as living, breathing, logical, sometimes animals, are pattern-seeking by nature. And if we don't understand a thing, we will make up a thing in order to say that we do understand it. This is why, before we understood that lightning was electrical discharge between the ground and the sky, it was some dude up in the sky with a hammer who was ticked off.
Well, science guy, I can't wait to see how you dispel this conspiracy theory about the NFL.
The conspiracy theory in question here is one that I saw floating around the internet yesterday. And some folks have made a somewhat, I'm emphasizing that word, somewhat compelling argument that this conspiracy theory is real. The conspiracy theory, fair enough, I'm actually okay with this. The conspiracy theory that is floating around right now is that it was not the Green Bay Packers that wanted the tush push banned. You will remember that it was the Packers who put this proposal on the table. And you will remember that outside of the folks who agreed with the proposal, Lonzo and I and a lot of others were giving the Packers hell when that news broke, because why would your team want to be the team that said another team is kicking our ass so bad that we don't want to figure out how to stop this play? We want you to make it illegal. It is the NFL version of teacher, teacher, I can't win on the dodgeball court. Please change the teams up. Can't figure out how to stop it or don't. Welp. The conspiracy theory floating around right now is that it was not the Green Bay Packers who wanted to change the tush push. The theory going around is that it was actually the NFL front office that wanted the tush push going around. But the NFL itself cannot bring a rules change proposal to the table. Those must come from the teams. Lions president Rod Wood, who, of course, the Lions had a rule change proposal that was on the table. They did pull it off at the last minute, which simply tells me that they knew before the meeting that they did not have the votes to get a playoff reseeding proposal. Remember, the Lions put forward a proposal that said, from this point forward, seeding for the NFL playoffs will be determined by final record. We will still have divisional winners. We will still have wild card teams. However, if a wild card team has a better record than a divisional winner, they will get a higher seed, and that could include the bye. Well, according to prideofdetroit.com, Rod Wood, the president of the Lions, apparently let it slip that it was not the Packers that wanted the tush push ban. It was the NFL. But as they cannot propose a rules change, they had to get a team to propose it on their behalf. And the Green Bay Packers are publicly owned. There is not the owner. There is no Jerry Jones. There is no David Tepper. There is no Gail Benson in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The team is, again, famously publicly owned. You can actually go on a waiting list to become a partial owner of the Packers. So when a current partial owner decides to sell their stake in the team, which is a very rare thing, you actually can buy a share of the Packers and be an owner. And they do special occasions. They do an owner's meeting where they invite all of the people who own a share of the Packers to come to Green Bay, and they bring you in the stadium and they kind of give you a state of the team. Now, you don't really have any decision-making power, but you can be an owner. The president of the Green Bay Packers serves in the capacity of the owner during these owners' meetings. And the conspiracy theory floating around right now is that the NFL went to the Packers and said, "We want this rule proposed. Would you be willing to, team that lost to the Eagles twice last year, would you be willing to be the one that propose this rule?" This conspiracy theory, or I guess if you want, theory, has picked up so much traction that Pro Football Talk put up an article in which they put all of the data together to kind of push it as a possibility. Pro Football Talk says, regardless, the Packers were the ones the league office targeted, and the Packers are the ones that will carry the public embarrassment of the proposal going to a vote instead of being withdrawn and failing. The truth is, it's not on the Packers. The league office wanted to get rid of the play. For whatever reason, the league decided not to propose the measure through the normal procedure, but to create the impression that one specific team decided to push for no tush push. Now, there is a methodology for the NFL to propose a rule, but it's very convoluted. It takes a long time, yada, yada, yada. So it is just easier to say, team wants it, they bring it up for a vote, owners say yes or no, we all move on. The reason that I am, as I am with most conspiracy theories, skeptical is because you don't just have to, you don't just get to say, oh, nefarious actions taken by dark shadows. You have to tell me why these nefarious actions are being put forward by the dark shadows. What do you gain by this happening? What is gained by the moon landing being faked? What do we gain from that? And you can make the argument, oh, it was a thing about the Cold War and blah, 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 blah. Hey, whatever. That doesn't do anything for me. So I would need to know from said conspiracy theorists what it is that the Packers would gain from this, but I would also say, to argue on behalf of the same conspiracy theorists, what do they lose? I mean, yes, they're going to be mocked relentlessly, both for being the wusses that decided they want to bring this forward, but let's keep in mind, 21 other teams joined them in the anti-tush push vote and said they want to ban.
I don't doubt that this is a possibility, and it is the perfect way to do it because of Green Bay's situation, but Why would the NFL want it banned? It's an exciting play. They've proven that it's not dangerous, despite what people are saying. Because injuries from it are limited. Even though I believe Kansas City had an injury going up against it, like a sprained neck. I forget who it was.
Chris Jones, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
In the Super Bowl.
But still, for the most part, people don't get injured during things. I don't. A lot of conspiracies, I understand why they are what they are and what the motivation is. What's the motivation here? Why would you get rid of an exciting play that when it lines up, you're like, okay, our defense is going to be the one to stop this?
I have an answer for you. However, the answer is going to contain an opinion contradictory to one of the opinions offered by you in that take? The answer is because, and again, social media isn't real life. However, it is the place that it is easiest to see the larger conversation taking place amongst any given fan base. The reason the NFL would want the tush push banned is because, again, social media is not real life. But by and large, on social media, people think the tush push is not an exciting play. In fact, quite the opposite. It's kind of a boring play for two reasons. Number one,
who thinks that?
I just told you. And I will say again, as we mentioned, your social media is largely going to be built into a circle of things that you engage with and interact with, which more often than not is going to be things you are in line with. But I will tell you that
you'd be surprised.
I see a lot of the social media NFL circle. I see it on, for instance, a 16 million member NFL subreddit. People complain about it all the time because it is two things. Number one, it is kind of boring. It's just a dive play, which is kind of boring, A. And B, it is inevitable. It's a first down. It's a touchdown every time. Every time.
Tag on it. But it's only a touchdown every time if it's Philly doing it.
Right.
Kansas City, I believe it was Kansas City, stopped Buffalo several times when they were trying to do it.
But that is another part of the argument is it is one team. Oh, by the way, the team that currently happens to be the reigning defending undefeated Super Bowl champions who kick everybody's ass. It works every time. It is kind of a boring play.
Here's the thing. Stop them from getting down to short yardage. Play some good defense. Then you don't have to worry about them ever running the play. That's on you for not playing good enough defense to stop Philadelphia from getting there. It's not a boring play. I think it's an exciting play.
I completely agree with that. I am of the camp of don't ban it. Figure out how to either A, do it, or B, stop it. I'm totally with you on that. But you asked why the NFL would want to ban it. The answer is because a large swath of fans find it very boring, and B, because if a play is inevitable, it takes the fun out of it.
That to me is a conspiracy. You're saying a large swath of people. I don't believe that. I believe that's a conspiracy.
Again, I feel like this is a time where I would simply say I got a 16 million member NFL chat that constantly gripes about it. So take it as subjective with whatever you want. I think the tush push is boring, but I also know if it works, I'd never stop doing it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Interesting lawsuit popping up in the landscape of collegiate football, and this one is a big one. It is a big one because it is being added on to the lawsuit of Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, who is arguing in front of a court that his junior college football experience should not count against his big-time college eligibility, and therefore he should be granted an extra year. Well, Tennessee cornerback Zakai Ziegler is challenging the red shirt rule. The argument from Zakai Ziegler is that in 5 years of eligibility, as he is not a COVID kid and has therefore exhausted his eligibility within the college landscape, he is making the argument that the fifth year is the most prosperous year for NIL money for athletes. And he is arguing that college athletics eligibility is an arbitrary limit, and that by enforcing their arbitrary limit of eligibility, the NCAA, which cannot legally enforce its eligibility limit, is preventing him from being as prosperous as possible. Now, the reason this is interesting is because the lawsuit is, obviously, as he is a Tennessee volunteer, being filed in the state of Tennessee. And as we talked about earlier in the week with the Senate bill that was passed and signed into law by the governor, Senate bill that became a law signed by Governor Bill Lee that says state schools in Tennessee are not obligated to follow the rules that will be put in place by the NCAA's Commission on College Sports, but will be obligated instead to follow Tennessee state law. I made the argument that while I do not yet know what those laws that may, according to Tennessee, take precedence over the College Sports Commission would be, my guess would be that the Tennessee legislature moving forward will write into law things that are benefits, not restrictions, right? And the example I said was if I was going to make it a law on the Rob Brown show that in order for Lonzo to remain a participant on the show, Lonzo must play 2 hours of video games per day. That's not a restriction, a punishment, anything like that. Lonzo would go, hell yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. Yes, I am willing to follow this law. So basically, the University of Tennessee, Memphis, Vanderbilt, etc., could see the Tennessee state legislature, write into a law that their NIL salary cap compensation must be $22 million or more. I'm not saying they can afford it. I'm just making up a hypothetical here, but they could say, by Tennessee state law, these schools must award their athletes combined more than $22 million in revenue distribution annually. Well, the College Sports Commission rule after the House settlement is going to be a revenue distribution cap to athletes of $22 million. So if the Tennessee state law says it must be at least $22 million or else they lose state funding moving forward, that opens up the door for Tennessee to be able to give the athletes as much as they want, which means that they could theoretically give more money than any other school if all the other schools are subject to the NCAA and the College Sports Commission's $22 million cap. That's a distinct advantage, but it's codified into state law. And they would be able to go to the College Football, the College Sports Commission, pardon me, and say to the College Sports Commission, listen, we don't have a problem with your cap, but our state law is we have to give more than $22 million. And if you try to kick us out, we're going to wrap you up in another one of those multi-year billion-dollar lawsuits. In which case, so far, the NCAA has been getting its ass handed to it every time that it has had to go in front of the justice system. So, this is just the next in a line of lawsuits. The reason it is interesting it's being filed in Tennessee is that Tennessee's new NIL law, which says college athletics are subject to Tennessee's antitrust law, and that the NCAA cannot enforce rules that tend to lessen competition for NIL, will be cited in this court case. So one of the things that, again, not a specific of what it might say, but again, that state law that Tennessee signed into law a few days ago says that Tennessee's antitrust laws are in place. And Tennessee's antitrust laws look at NIL as effectively a business payout. And what it says is, in this case, the reason the NFL can have a salary cap, they have antitrust exemptions. Otherwise, the NFL could not have a salary cap, at least not that one, or not one that could not be challenged by NFL players in court and probably win. Tennessee state law says NIL is a business. You cannot put restrictions on a business that prohibit competition. And paying out NIL money is a way that a college athletic department can compete for the best players in a sport and get those players to come to their campus. So the law says the NCAA cannot enforce an NIL limit because by enforcing an NIL limit, they are putting a restriction on competition of an entity within a business that does not have antitrust exemptions moving forward. Now, I do think that, especially if there is down the line a presidential commission on college sports, which Donald Trump has floated after a conversation with Nick Saban as an idea, there is the possibility that one day, and I do not know when this would be, I don't know the process it would have to go through other than going through the federal justice or the federal legal system. There's the possibility that one day college sports could gain an antitrust exemption just like the NFL. Of course, it would have to structure like the NFL, which means it would have to, as I have said, was always going to be, in my opinion, the inevitable outcome. They will have to allow every college athlete who wishes to join to unionize and then enter into a collective bargaining agreement with that player's union for college sports, in which case they would have to agree on an NIL cap, or as I would even call it at that point, a salary cap, and they would have to compensate every athlete across the college sports landscape with compensation as a little bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to get them to agree to the NIL revenue distribution model that they want in place. So, This player, Zakai Ziegler, is challenging the redshirt rule, asserting that you should be able to play five seasons in 5 years regardless. He is saying that the redshirt to get five, otherwise you get 4 year rule, is an arbitrary rule of the NCAA's, a rule that they do not have any legal way to enforce. And since he has the opportunity in his fifth year to earn more money than he would have made in his first, second, third, or fourth year as a player, that by enforcing without legal justification the 5 years if you redshirt eligibility rule, they are preventing him from reaching his maximum earning potential. On one hand, I get his argument, and as a non-legal scholar and basically an idiot with a microphone who sometimes reads things, I actually think this case is probably a good one. I actually think he's probably got a pretty good argument in front of a judge. I actually think if he was to catch a judge like Claudia Wilkin, who is overseeing the House v. NCAA settlement that has gone very much in favor of the players making the argument that back pay is deserved to the tune of $2+ billion, that he will probably have a winning case on his hands here. Probably can win this argument that you cannot restrict me via arbitrary rules that I have not agreed to contractually and legally. You cannot restrict me from making money and playing another year when your rules are indeed arbitrary to you is something that if the school thinks I should be allowed to do, that I should be allowed to do. However, maybe for the first time, I hope the case loses. And it's not because I don't think he has a good case, and it's not because I don't think players should get money or be compensated. Very clearly and obviously by the history of the show, you know that I do. The reason that I hope that he loses is because if the 5 in 5 years rule is overturned by a court, what's that mean for a 6th year and a 7th year and an 8th year and a 9th year and a 10th year? This could, if this suit is approved and if Zakai Ziegler wins this lawsuit and is granted a fifth year of eligibility without his, he did not redshirt. So it would be his 5th year, but he's not a redshirt, so he's out of eligibility. If he is granted that eligibility, then what's to stop him from coming back next semester with the exact same argument and say, wait a minute, I am continuing my studies at the University of Tennessee. I'm taking classes. I'm getting a degree. The school is fine with me being here. So why should the NCAA get to say that I can't have a 6th year? And that would be the exact same case. And he would have precedent in his win from his 5th year argument, meaning they would likely say that's fine. And if it's good for 6, it's good for 7. I'll tell you the one thing I don't want. I am great with players having the opportunity to use their own name, image, and likeness as compensation. I am great with a revenue distribution model when the College Football Playoff Committee is going to be making over $2 billion a year, that the athletes get a chunk of that. I'm good with all of that. The one spot that I think I am going to be out on is getting to a point where we have a 29-year-old college basketball player, because he's good. Maybe not NBA good, but he's good. And he's good enough to keep winning in the March Madness tournament. And a team is so desperate for a win that they are willing to keep bringing him back for his 7th and 8th and 9th year of eligibility. And the next thing you know, we got college basketball teams playing in the March Madness tournament that are older than NBA teams. We've got NCAA football teams competing in the football playoffs that are older than NFL teams on average.
Which would be interesting. It definitely would. But you've talked many times about the NCAA being dissolved and being replaced by something. This is another step towards that. So if you believe the NCAA is going bye-bye, then this passing, a judge agreeing to this, will be just another nail in the coffin of the NCAA, and then they'll have to find another way to another governing body that can handle all these little things. And it really comes down to, once they declare the student that the colleges can pay the students, then it's the NFL light, then all this other stuff will be taken care of.
We will see. That is kind of the goal of the College Sports Commission we've talked about a couple of times, to be the new governing, disciplining body of the NCAA. But it's going to be challenged before it's even a thing. So I'm intrigued by this story. I'm going to bring this back up at 9 o'clock to talk about, because the next hour is racked. Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News is next. We'll talk about the conclusion of the South Carolina baseball season. Then Julie Carlson, head coach of the Greenville Liberty, joining us at 8:20. Their season is underway. We'll talk a little bit about the team and the growth of women's soccer in the upstate. Then at 8:40, Rashad Beard swings by to talk Panthers. 9 o'clock, no Mario. So we'll talk more about this at that point at 9, Fight Club at 9:20, whatever you want to end the show. All of that comes after Lonzo gives you this national championship caliber sports flash.
I would know. OH. The Indiana Pacers have a 1-0 series lead over the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals after a 138-135 overtime win last night. Tyrese Haliburton had 31 points on 12-23 shooting, and Aaron Naismith added 30. The Knicks held a lead throughout the entire fourth quarter, but a bouncing long-range shot from Haliburton at the buzzer forced the overtime. The Dallas Stars' power play offense came alive in the third period for a 6-3 win and a 1-0 series lead over Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals of the NHL playoffs. Edmonton held a 3-1 lead at the final intermission, but Dallas scored 5 goals in the third period. Aiden Kanak pitched 6 innings, a 4-hit, 1-run ball to lead the Clemson Tigers to a 6-1 win over Virginia Tech in round 2 of the ACC baseball tournament. Jacob McGovern and Joe Allen gave up no hits or runs in the final 3 innings. Clemson gets NC State tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.